Hey guys, I am Caleb Giddings, and you are watching or listening to. Man, I am 2 seconds into this episode, and I already cannot talk. What can I say? I've had too much coffee today. I actually took my dad out for lunch, and I had a really big lunch, so I'm kind of sleepy and tired. My dad's 71st birthday, so I know he doesn't listen, but he would be pleased to know that he got a mention on the podcast. Anyway, I'm Caleb Giddings, and you are watching or listening to another episode of Gunday Brunch brought to you by Taurus USA and Bleecker Street Publications. If you like guns, get them from Taurus. If you like reading about guns, read about them at Bleecker Street. Now, as you can see, Keith is not with us today. He is trapped in sales meeting hell right now, which is the problem when you have a real job. But that's okay. I got somebody who looks nicer than Keith. So if you're watching the video version of this show, you're like, oh, this is a way better view than I normally get. Now, with that as my segue, I will have Evelyn introduce herself. Evelyn, who are you and what do you do?
I am Evelyn Vadreen. I am the Chief Marketing Officer for Sealy Optics. And that is it. That's all I got.
And
That's all I
that's
do.
it. I'm the CMO for optics company. I don't really do anything.
I don't do
Fun
anything.
fact,
It's fine.
I'm so glad that I had you introduce yourself because I would have mispronounced your last name really, really badly. So that saves me the trouble of embarrassing myself on my own show, which is nice. So, Evelyn, the reason why I brought you on the show today is and I mentioned this in the pre-show a little bit, and all of the listeners out there have heard me talk about this before, how I think we're in a golden age of striker-fired semi-automatic pistols in that they're basically all the same because they all do the same thing, which is work. And that's good. That's good for the consumer. That's pretty much good for everyone. And I wanted to expand that theory because something that hit me at SHOT Show was, I think that we are in the same thing with compact pistol mounted optics. So I thought I would, bring someone on from an optics company to talk about that. And, if you guys remember, way back in 2014, there were not a lot of good optics. But you work for an optics company, so give me your sense of kind of where we're at in the market right now for those compact consumer pistol optics.
Okay, so full disclosure, I actually wrote an article about a year ago that included information about this specifically. I saw then the trend upwards of just red dots, and people, consumers, for the most part, want everything to be as simple as possible. And I do think that optics make shooting easier, let's be real. But when it comes to choosing what company or what optic is right for you, that all really depends on price point and quality and what you're looking for. I know some people are misinformed as far as where optics are made and if that matters. I know that, I mean, am I
Wait, what do
allowed
you
to talk
mean
about?
some people are
Okay,
misinformed
all
as to
right.
where optics are made and
So,
why that matters?
I
That's
mean, for
actually,
me, you want to touch on this? You want to go
yeah,
into this?
absolutely. Of course I
All
do.
right, cool.
Because
All right.
everybody sort of thinks, so I will say myself as a consumer, right? Because I'm not an optics guy, right? I, in my head, divide optics into very two clear categories. Category number one is, and we're talking about red dots here, specifically
Right.
pistol and rifle, pistol red dots. I have two categories in my head. I have duty rated, and that's Trijicon and Aimpoint, and then I have everything else, and that's it. Those are my two categories. And in
Sure.
my everything else category, I just sort of assume that it's all made somewhere over in China at some place, shape, or form. And before you answer that, we're gonna let Keith in, and I'm gonna make fun of Keith because here he comes. So Keith is coming in to the show, guys. So guys, if you heard the intro, which I did all of 5 business minutes ago, I said Keith was trapped in sales hell, but he was able to make it to the meeting. So he's here now, Keith. And I
I
just
am here
and
now. I was able to escape hell. It was basically
so
a Diablo game.
So, Keith joining us, we have Evelyn from Sealy Optics. We were talking about the golden age of pistol optics, and she was about to explain to me that not every that my categorization of pistol optics into two broad categories of Trijicon and Aimpoint and then everyone else is probably not a correct categorization anymore. And then also that everyone else category is made in lots of different places, not just Chinese sweatshops.
I would I'd jump in with Evelyn on this one. I think you are I think you have limited the categories too far.
Maybe
Probably.
just a
Probably.
smidgen. Just a smidge. All right. So we are made in China. And I like to tell people that our story, I feel, is very important and it's different than the typical story that you hear in the industry. And we can delve into that if you want, but I'm going to sound really biased if we do that. So let's hold off. I saw your face.
Bias on this show? Not a chance.
Never. Not even once have we ever
Not a
expressed
bit.
a strong opinion
A
about something.
preference? God.
So generally speaking, there are different, and I don't want to hurt any feelings, but I am going to
No, by all
speak
means, hurt
feelings.
feelings.
There are optics that are made here in the US. Triticon, of course, is one of those, and they are for the most part put together here in the US, as far as I know. That is the case. But the majority of us are made in China. And I am gonna call them out, but HoloSun in particular is seen as being a US company. And I think they've really branded well on that front. But they are solely and wholly made in China, in Shenzhen, China, which is where we are made. They are made up the street from us. So I
If
think
you had
if
said on a different floor, I would have absolutely lost my shit.
It's just, like
No,
they're the
but
second floor of the factory where the
right,
I
it would have
think
been
you guys
amazing.
are, we're all old enough to remember that the Tom Hanks SNL bit, right? Same guts as Sony.
All
Like
right. I wasn't allowed to watch that.
oh my okay,
I grew up in that
yeah.
house.
So for our younger listeners, back when the Earth was still cooling and Tom Hanks was young, they did a bit where he's at like at an Asian, open air market, right? And he's trying to sell somebody a knockoff radio. And he's like, same as Sony, same guts as Sony. It's got the Sony guts. So that's kind of the deal. And I
There
have to
are only
give
five forges, bro.
exactly same vibes. I have to give HoloSun their flowers on this, in that their marketing team in the US has done a phenomenal job at positioning that brand as, by and large, an American brand, and also
I
done
will
a
give that they don't out and out say they're not made in China. And I've seen that in other places. They never claim that they're not made in China, but I will cite their marketing is spot on as like w no, we build optics for the US.
If you didn't
What
delve
I'm
into it at all,
yeah. And I
then
mean, all right, so and I will say this about HoloSun, and I will actually be delicate about this, but I would encourage anyone who is considering purchasing more HoloSun optics. I have several HoloSun optics. To do some research about the ownership of their parent Chinese company.
I
And
have
that
an
is open
article.
source. That's open source information. I am not saying or doing anything, but that's as far as we're going to go on that very specific topic, because I don't want angry people in my comments talking shit, which is a change for me from my normal thing, but HoloSun fans tend to be especially sensitive. So anyway, so what you're saying, most of the if you're not Triticon, which is made in Michigan, or Aimpoint, which is made in
They're not Mark.
Sweden,
They're not
what?
far from me.
But so if you're not one of those, which are really the two sort of flagship red dot companies, the vast majority of these other companies are, made in China. I know some are made in the Philippines. And I think I saw a box. I think I saw a company at SHOT Show that was 100% like made in Vietnam, which I was like crazy. But, that's the
Wild.
market right now.
Well, and Viridian is made here in the US.
Oh, that's right.
No comment. So I will say there is a reason that the Chinese optics, quote unquote, any optics made in China are offered at the price point that they're offered. We can get materials over there for cheaper and for better quality, and labor over there is frankly cheaper. And it is what it is. And when I came on with Sealy back in October, there was this idea that we needed to kind of fight that image of being made overseas. And two of us are here, by the way. Two of our executives are here in the US, and then our CEO is in China, works in the factory. But as I said, our story is a little different. But I just decided for us to lean in. I was like, let's just own it. I mean, the engineering that we have here in the US cannot be retained for the price that we get it over in China. So we are able to provide a technology to consumers here in the US and all over the world, frankly, for a reasonable price, as is, what is it, Gideon and Vortex. I mean, all of these companies that are pretty much baseline, not Aimpoint, Trigicon level. What you would group, Caleb, as everyone else. That is how we do that, is we're able to offer really kind of advanced technology. And there's a lot that goes into the actual manufacturing process as far as the way that LEDs are retained. There are only three companies in the world that actually can provide the LED that we need for red dots. So frankly, that is probably what Trigicon is getting from other places, but I could be very wrong here.
Well, no,
But that
you're
is.
not wrong, because even companies like Aimpoint and Trigicon are sourcing some components internationally. Like, that's just global supply chains. That's how this thing works in, the current year. So, even if it's just very difficult to actually make something entirely in the United States with only parts sourced in the United States, especially a complex electronical device. And I want to clarify something here. When I do that grouping of, Trigicon and Aimpoint and then everyone else, the everyone else is not intended to be a slight, because I have, within arm's reach of me, I have a bunch of Sealy dots. Thank you for sending those.
You're welcome.
I have three or four HoloSuns. I have those, the primary arms micro dot, the one they made for the RMSC footprint. I got two of
Yeah.
those. I have a bunch of the everyone else dots. I have a Swamp Fox dot mounted on a revolver that I dropped off of the roof of a moving truck and ran over it. Because it was, well, so Swamp Fox sent it to me for free, and I was like, well, I'm not going to hurt this gun if I back over it. Can I hurt the optic? I didn't. It held zero, $120 optic, right? So this is
Wow.
kind of the point is, and Keith remembers this, back when we were getting into red dots on handguns back in the early teens, these things were brittle. They were fragile.
Trigicons were brittle. They weren't made
Yeah.
for the recoil on a slide yet.
And so now
But we've gone beyond that.
I can buy a $150 optic that is not only going to hold up on my slide, but it's not going to, it's probably not going to lose zero. And I can, it's just, this is, it's, well, what it is to me, it's the TV effect, right? So you guys remember when TVs were the size of my entire desk and they were 4 feet deep? And a really, really good TV cost $4,000.
And it weighed 400 pounds.
Oh yeah. And now I can go to, Costco and get a 58-inch plasma TV for like $800. And
Plasma's old now. It's
not
like
even plasma,
yeah,
the LEDs.
the
That was like the
shiny
beginning one.
8K LEDs, and it's like
Yeah, that's it.
$899, and it's like, oh yeah, that's a 75-inch.
The monitor that I use on my dad, I have two monitors. I got one hooked up to my MacBook. The monitor that I use is a better television than any television I owned as a child and cost $100, right? So, and that same effect I think has applied to your compact pistol optics, right? Because they used to be expensive to make, expensive to manufacture, kind of fragile. Like, remember when you couldn't leave your TV on because it would burn out the pixels?
Yes.
So, and now they're not. And like, yes, damn, in a perfect world, I would love to be able to buy everything I get from a dude who made it here in America. But I think that the, I'll use the fancy word, the globalization of supply chains is what has allowed optics to get better and more affordable.
Absolutely. Yeah. And access to the engineering and the technology. I think your point about the TV point is really what we have tried to leverage is moving towards the future of optics as a company, Sealy, but I know in general as an industry. And I see that happening. Like, I know we're going to talk a little bit about SHOT. I saw that a lot at SHOT this year with just people really leveraging future designs. I saw Beretta's new Jaguar was what one of our bull was on. I
Saw.
know you hate it. I know.
No, here's the thing. I have a friend at Beretta. I talked to him about the Jaguar, and he's like, this is in Beretta's proud tradition of making kind of weird looking 22s that work. Because they made the Neos, which looked weird. That was in Beretta's like smooth phase. Because real ones remember the 9000S and the Beretta Storm,
That
which were all part of that smooth
they were very
phase.
round pistols. And CZ just revived that with a very, very round, spacey looking pistol. And I'm okay with that. It is a cool
What did
aesthetic.
CZ do?
They're doing a limited run of 50, I think. And it looks really, really cool.
That's
Mark
what I'm
Drop,
saying. They're all like Star Trek pistols this year.
Yeah,
That was like
it
a
looks straight out of
new
Mass Effect.
thing. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I'm a super nerd anyway. So I think the industry itself is really trying to head in that direction. And as someone who is in red dots and is obsessed with that technology, I think that is really cool. And I love that red dots are being used on pistols as just like the norm now.
I like that this is essentially the pistol standard that we are at today. This macro and competitors to the SIG macro stuff in the 15 and 17 round range that are thinner, that are lighter, that aren't super expensive, and you get with a dot on it, like that's a Holosun EPS. But you could get a you could name any compact pattern, shield pattern dot that you would want to put on it.
Yeah.
And you've got that entire setup for just under $1,000 most of the time.
Right. You could do the same thing, but with style, if you use like a 327 Fed Mag
We're
revolver. So,
not biased here to revolvers or anything, Mr.
no,
Wolf.
not at
No
all.
bias. No bias here.
So,
No
never.
bias.
So Evie, you're talking about like things you saw at SHOT, in terms of red dots, in terms of technology development. What was something, and I did not get out much, and I'll share, the thing that I remember the most from SHOT here in a minute, but what was the thing that you saw that like really indicated sort of a continuing technological drive forward with optics or, friggin' whatever?
All right. So the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that I think there was an indication visually to me, as someone who's in this marketing space, and maybe to you too, that the industry was a little bit down. The displays were not quite as elaborate as they normally are. I actually said it a couple of times. I was like, I'm not seeing as much. I mean, it was still insane. And if you go to SHOT, you know what I mean. But it
But you
just
didn't feel
looked.
as flashy as it normally does.
Right. Yeah.
People had scaled back.
Exactly. Which I
And
thought was really interesting. And I was proud of. I was like, okay, guys, like, good for you for not making this a contest. But outside of that, I saw a lot more of the, like, I saw a bunch of holograms, which I always think is really cool. And I had that conversation more. I didn't get a lot out a lot either. I was in the booth most of the time. But those conversations were about like the future, and there were like the presentation, not to bring them back up, but the presentation at Beretta at their 500 year anniversary thing, that was the speech was about the future of Beretta. They really did not focus on the stuff that they've done before, and that's why I think they were bringing out this new like Star Trek-y pistol. But I did hear from more people that were talking about how they were trying to move into this new era for their company, which I think is the right move. I think is, especially in a marketing sense, I think this is something that we need to do as an industry. Instead of trying to do what we've always done, it is time to make that move forward. So there wasn't, I mean, I didn't see anything like majorly specific product wise, but I
No, fair.
had that, yeah, that conversation for sure.
Vibes count. I think, Keith, what was your, like, because we didn't do a SHOT Show wrap-up show because we all wanted to die last week, and the week
Yeah,
before.
I did a rambling We Are
I
Hungover
listened
SHOT
to
Show
all
rap.
11 minutes of it today, and I
Yeah.
was like, respect. He got out 11 minutes solo. So what was your kind of you could either give me a pro give me a product that you saw that you thought was really cool, or I know you talked about how on your last week's episode how it was a very iterative show, like people weren't taking
It
big
was
swings, they were
a
like.
very iterative show, and to Evie's point, we did. If you had been there and if you had gotten out, you would have seen more of it away from the booth, because your booth looks like the way your booth did. But I noticed even Taurus had fewer towers, didn't bring as
We
much
scaled back as well.
scale back. Like everybody had that, and then other guys I work with. They didn't have any new product yet for SHOT Show. It's not that new product isn't coming, it's just not done. And on top of that, anyone who's seen sales sheets knows that 25 was not a great year for the industry, mostly due to factors outside the industry that have to do with the price of other things.
Well, the price of just things.
Yes. All the other things that aren't guns.
Why does everything cost money? This is bull crap.
Really is. Why can't everything be like TVs and just be getting cheaper?
I know, right? TVs and red dots, they're getting cheaper and better. Everything else isn't.
Nope. But so the cool one of the neatest things to throw Gideon a little love, and I'll throw Viridian a little love too, is I saw some sights for the M&P Bodyguard 2, which is the tiniest pistol, which I had basically said that we have gone too small with pistol in order to make dot four. And that's fine because this is pocket pistol. And both companies said challenge accepted, and
We'll
then
leave
we're
here.
like, here. And I like that. I like that we are even taking, because I would have said the same thing a few years ago. Oh, you can't get 10 shots of 380 auto in a pistol that size. And Smith did it. And then I, of course, laid down the challenge of, oh, you can't put a dot on it, so I need to live with these tiny, tiny iron sights. And then two companies did it, and it was okay. I should stop saying, I should either stop saying you can't do this, or more strategically say you can't do this in order to
Put it
get
out
other things
there.
that I want.
Yeah. I need you to
Put it out
say,
there.
I need you to send an email to, I'll give you the guy's email address in Brazil. He's the head of product development down there, that you couldn't possibly make a reliable double stack 380 in the GX4 format that's not straight blowback, but is instead recoil operated, because I would buy, oh, well, let's be real. Change that to 32 ACP, and then I would sell 10 of them. I would sell one to me and nine to my turbo murder friends who want an
Yes.
ankle 32 ACP double stack.
Yes.
So that's how many of those I would sell, which is
And
fine because I want one.
if we did it in 380 auto, which would make it like a 13 or a 15, like there would be a lot of 380 in that thing, and
I know
it
you could
wouldn't
hold a
recoil
lot
at
of 380
all.
in that gun. And I agree kind of with everything you guys said. I didn't really have like a best of SHOT Show because I one, I didn't get out that much. And the things that I am interested in at this point are so like niche and weird that like the thing that blew my that I and I've talked about this several times now already, but the only thing that I saw on the show floor that I was like, this is so rad, was that Aimpoint has made the A cut for the COA open source so everyone has access to it.
Yeah, I loved seeing
And
that on Springfields and M&Ps and like the rest of the duty pistol
that was it.
smorgasbord out there. That was good.
That was my it. That was my takeaway. But I will now pivot to the worst thing I saw at SHOT Show, which surprisingly, even though I did see it, is not a dude getting stabbed.
What's that?
But I got stabbed. I still can't. First off, you no. Here's why this shit pisses me off. Hang on. I have two rants for this show. The first one is about the guy who got stabbed and why I'm mad about this, because you know what this means. This means that next year it's going to be that much harder to have a pocket knife at SHOT Show because some dickhead couldn't hold his drinks and stabbed some other dickhead because they were arguing about something that dickheads argue about. I've heard conflicting stories
I
about
have
what the
heard they were brothers or related, maybe cousins. And I've
and
also
arguing
heard it
about a
was about a
girl.
girl.
Yeah, I've heard
It's the
those.
most drunk Vegas thing ever.
Yeah, I've also heard those as one version where that they were brothers arguing about a girl. So, all of which makes sense. It's Vegas, but like, come on, really stabbing people? Like now, I'm gonna try to have my spider co in there, and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can't have any knives in here." And I'm like, "There's guys that have booths full of knives in here. What are they gonna do? Make you deactivate your knives now? It's gonna have a foam tip on it. What are we, fucking England? Fuck you." I'm just mad at that guy for stabbing his brother, friend, whatever, because it's going to make everyone else's life a pain in the ass. And I will. Here's my second rant. I'm tired of the dogs at SHOT Show. All right. This was my 13th or 14th show. 13th, I think. I remember when there were no dogs at SHOT Show, none whatsoever. Then I remember when there were a couple of dogs at SHOT Show, and it was cool because they were legitimate service dogs that were, working with veterans who had like wicked PTSD or something like that. Or hell, I saw an actual seeing eye dog at SHOT Show once, which was confusing because I was a blind guy at a gun show, but whatever, not my problem. Seeing eye dog. But it has got, and this is a more generalized rant actually, because I hate fake service dogs so much. And I love dogs. I love my dog. I love my old dog. I love your dogs. Like, if I'm out at a park or a place where I expect to see dogs, I am very happy to see dogs, right? Like, if I'm at one of those like bars with that has picnic benches and you can, scan the QR code and they bring your food straight to your table, but you're outside, that is a place where I expect to see dogs. And I'm happy to see dogs in this place. I do not expect to see dogs at a fucking trade show. And I especially don't expect to see some fucking drooly, wheezing bulldog with a vest on it that says, "Service animal, do not pet," wandering around tripping people at a trade show. The fucking fake service dogs at SHOT Show are the new RSR carts, but they're worse because the people that have those fake service dogs are the most entitled sort of jerk offs that you can possibly imagine. And I don't want to be around those people. And I saw multiple incidents. I was involved in an incident where the service dogs tripped someone or someone wasn't paying attention and tripped over the service dog. And the owner of the animal that had no business being at a trade show got mad. I'm sorry. This is not that person's fault who tripped on your fuck ass dog. It is your fault for bringing a dog to a trade show. Rant complete. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I gotta be honest. Right now I'm watching my rescue cats run around this house. I'm an animal advocate all the way, but I am on board with you with this. I just think it's you know
It's
who it
not
is.
the dogs.
It's
It's
not the
the
dogs.
disingenuous nature of the fact that you are faking a service dog because you can get away with it, and technically it's a service dog because of the rules or whatever you did with it, or you just got a vest slapped on the side, and nobody's gonna say, "Show me the papers," because if you're wrong, you're a giant dickhead.
Right. Even if you're right, you're a giant dickhead. Like that's a Kobe, that is a social Kobayashi Maru, right? Like you do not win that situation. Because it gets recorded by somebody on a third party angle and you look like the asshole for being like, "Papers, papers please for your dog." But yeah, no, I'm just I am tired of the dogs at SHOT Show, and I know someone's gonna get their feelings hurt by that, and I don't care. Like, because here's the thing. And it sucks because this is one of those the classic human condition, right? The human condition is that there will be a good thing and then some dickhead will ruin it for everybody else, right? Allowing legitimate service dogs into the show is a good thing for people who have disabilities and require that dog to perform a service for them. I am 100% in favor of that. You guys get to bring your dogs, but it has become impossible to differentiate that from the entitled people whose dogs are just, Like I saw a bulldog with a service dog vest.
I know who you're talking about.
What
I saw
service
it too.
is that dog providing? Like, pardon my
None.
face.
None.
Parts.
It is
No, you know what it
primarily.
is? It's providing attention for the owner. That's the service it's providing.
It's content stuff.
Yeah. It's all
Yeah.
content stuff. Now that rant's over. I'm not
Okay.
going to talk about the worst thing that I saw at SHOT Show, but I want you guys to give me your worst things that you saw at SHOT Show. I mean, it could be an incident, it can be a product, it can be whatever.
Need to think about it. I need to think for a second.
Oh, if you guys need to think, you can think while I go off on mine. And I posted this
Go
on my social
off,
media.
my guy. Do yours. Let me think for a sec.
So I posted mine on my social media, but by far the worst thing that I saw at SHOT Show was a product. And it was a Turkish clone of a Colt Python. And it was bad in every way that like, first off, it was, if you guys are familiar with the uncanny valley, right? Like how when you look at something that looks human-like, but it's not quite human enough, or maybe it's a little bit too human, but not quite human, right? And it gives you the heebie-jeebies. Imagine the uncanny valley for a Colt Python. It was like a python shape. It because from 10 yards away, I was like, is that a fucking Colt Python? And then you get closer and closer and closer and closer to it, and it looks less and less and less and less like a python, and more and more and more like what a half-blind Turkish guy who's only ever seen pictures of a python that were drawn in a Batman comic book would imagine a python looks like. So it's
And not one of the good Batman
ugly.
artists.
Yeah, no, in the style of Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
So it's
So it is required by law to not look like a gun because we can't show that on TV to kids.
yeah. So it's ugly to start off. Like it's just like it and the closer you get, the uglier it gets. And it's upsetting because it kind of like makes like it kind of activates your gag reflex a little bit. And then the oh my gosh, one of my phones is ringing and this is not good. Hang on. Did that work? No,
You're
that
still here,
worked.
so
Ha! This is the one of the problems with connected technology is that like when my phone rings, it shows up on my laptop. Anyway, regardless, Python ugly. And I'm gonna leave that in the show because couldn't like really do that.
the Turkish
Yeah,
clone Python.
so physically repulsive to look at. Then when you went to press the trigger kind of made me sick because like you know how Keith, you know like a two-stage rifle trigger, right? We'll have take up, hard wall, break, and then follow through. That's the opposite of what a good revolver trigger should feel like.
Yeah.
However, that's exactly what this Python trigger felt like, and the break. When I tell you that I was like heaving around on the brake, like I was raising the sails on the Coast Guard Cutter Eagle, I'm like, go off. And then it finally went off. And I was like, what was that? Like 20 pounds of
Oh, so like
pressure?
a
And
32 trigger, which is 20 pounds on purpose because it's a grenade launcher.
yeah. And so then when I pulled the hammer back, I'm like, surely the single action must feel good. And I pulled the hammer back and it made like a crunchy noise. As the hammer came back, and I'm like, that's not a noise I want to hear. And then I went to pull that, and that trigger was, I don't know, 7.5 pounds. Like, I'm just like, this got to break at some point. And then it finally went off. And I think part of the reason why it was so offensive was because I also handled the Pietà Python clone, the Italian Python clone, which is it's basically it's a Python in italics. It's a Python with a Ferrari
Python.
logo on it. It's great. If you guys like, I'm not kidding, the Italian Python, the Pythone is really like go get a Pythone, guys. You're gonna be happy about this life choice. Yeah, so that was it. That
Go
was
get
that yeah. Yeah, it made me want to not say slurs about Italians. And Keith knows how much I don't like
Oh
Italians.
my God.
So anyway, that was the worst thing I saw at SHOT Show was the Turkish Python clone because that was just offensive to me as a revolver guy.
I will mention the best worst thing that I saw at SHOT Show because it is so bad, it is also good now because it is a special type of degeneracy. And these were mag clamps for standard AR mag wells that allow you to use single stack 1911 magazines of whatever variety you want to make AR PCCs. It is the best worst thing I found. So you can build
Interesting.
an AR PCC with a 7 round capacity or an 8 round capacity.
Wait, so a 45, not 9 mil
Yeah,
mags?
45. Well,
Ooh.
any single stack that'll fit in the pattern. So any like 38 super
Ooh, wait a
friggin'
minute. Hang on. You said a word that now I'm thinking
You
about
have a
making a
link?
38
Can you
super.
send a link to this?
Yeah, this is
I think I need to
crazy.
see it. I think I need to see
Hang
it.
on.
Single I am sad. I
stack.
am sadly
That was the best
drawing
description,
a
by the way. That
yeah.
was
I am
so detailed.
sadly drawing a blank on this company's name because it was the
Well, I
best
just
worst thing.
X Grip Mag Adapter, 1911 C1 Mag Adapter is offered by. Oh no, this is for 1911. Okay, that wasn't it.
It was. God.
You were in the dungeon when you saw
I
this one
was in the
too.
dungeon.
Of
Do I
course.
have their?
Don't knock the dungeon.
Do I
No, the
have their?
dungeon. No, we all look. Here's the thing. Long-term SHOT Show people, like real ones know, like the dungeon is where you go to see fun stuff, and you get to see a lot of cool stuff in the dungeon. And I've lost count of the number of.
The dungeon is so wonderfully unhinged because you will walk by a boot like Vortex wasn't there this year. But Vortex for a while was in the so you would go by the Vortex optics booth and see things like the AMG, like $4,000 top of the line optics. And then the booth next to them is the most unhinged like pistol conversion system you have ever seen for some unhinged Turkish pistol or something.
Right, or you could see the again Turkish Python, because that was in the basement.
Yep.
Weirdly, right, located very
So close.
closely, like at an L-shaped intersection with the ATF's booth and Evie's booth.
And mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm aware.
No, but the basement's where I've always had a special love for the basement. You know what you got? You know what people are sleeping on? The Caesars Forum. The lighting's
Absolutely.
better. The
Yes.
carpet's
So great. It's
softer.
quieter.
The
You can have a conversation. bathrooms are nice. The
They're so
flooring is so
clean.
nice to walk on. I love it.
Yeah.
When
So.
I'm getting to my sore part of wandering around, I will go hang out in Caesars because it's just so much nicer to walk and wander there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's less walking. I feel like it's just less.
All
Right. So, Evie, give me your worst
right.
thing from SHOT Show.
Okay. Mine has nothing to do with actual firearms, but I have two things I want to address. Really quick. The first is if I see one more concealed carry purse that is designed by a man, I swear to God.
We did a whole rant about this, Keith, didn't
Did
we?
you
This is like,
really?
oh yeah, like a million
Jesus.
episodes ago. I fucking
Oh
popped
yeah,
off about
so
this.
many episodes ago. But yeah, we went off on this. God, we hate it.
I saw one, and I'm like not like a fashionista, okay? But I still like to have a nice purse. If you're gonna make something for a woman, please talk to a woman and get her opinion. And if women are interjecting on these designs, then those women need to stop talking and they need to talk to younger women. Because all of these purses and concealed camisoles, and there were slips. I don't know who's still wearing slips as a but that's what grandmothers wear under their dresses. I'm sorry. We're Nope, you're good. You're good. I had like 47 jokes run through my head, and I was like, "Nah, we're gonna keep this one mostly family
none of
friendly
which were
today."
appropriate.
Not getting it. Not getting it. No, I mean, and I don't know. I really think that needs to be a conversation. I actually stopped at a booth, and talked to, I was like, who's in charge? And it was an older man that like came, he was like, you need to talk to me. And I was like, are you the But I don't
owner? He
wanna.
was like, yeah. And I was like, already it's a no. Like I'm good. I'm good.
Well, dear
So
listener,
yeah.
do I have good news for you? I'll interject here before you give me your
Yeah.
second thing.
Let's hear it.
If you would like a bag for concealed carry designed by women, get a Zandira bag because both Jesse Harrison and my friend Sophia have bags that they have designed specifically for Zandira. So bags for girls, for the girlies, by the girlies, as they say.
Love it. Noted.
And don't
for
ask me how to spell Zendira. Just like figure it
Google,
out.
figure it out.
Yeah.
Gemini does that for me. What do you mean?
There you go.
All right. So my second qualm is, and sorry, there's like cats happening, so I'm very distracted right now. All right.
I know nothing about this. I have three.
All right. My other issue with this industry as a whole, but primarily I saw it at SHOT Show, is the lack of customer service, which I think not everyone, but like I walked through some pretty big booths and the people were not busy on their phones talking to each other. Not one person asking me if I need anything or if I had any questions. And it just really kind of blew my mind that we're at this trade show specifically for this and no one is talking. And I saw this happen over and over. And that is something that we have as a company have really pushed is like, we want to be involved in your life, basically. But
We want,
we
I mean, I
want to
did
be your
actually say to somebody, I
friend.
was like, I don't want to
So.
be your friend. I just want your sweet, sweet data.
Honestly, I think it's that is one thing that I fell in love with when I started in this industry was like how involved everyone was and how much we all communicated and talked to each other and collaborated. And this year just seemed very like cold as far as that goes. And maybe we're all tired. but I think there was less of that.
Well,
And
now,
I
what day
think,
did you? I will say this, in
yeah.
defense of the industry, did you walk
Okay.
around mostly on Friday? Okay.
No, I didn't. I did floor stuff. I try to do floor stuff every day because I had to. I came, saw y'all. I came, went and saw some other people we're doing some work with. So I think I just know that we've had a hard year, but I do see things trajectory wise going back up. Just as someone who is watching the market really carefully, I think that's changing. I could be wrong, but I do think that is changing. And I think that we need to, as an industry, treat especially new customers with in the best possible way. Invite them into the fold, instead of being jaded and exhausted. Don't let it show. Hide it like Elsa from Frozen. Mom reference. But no, I think we need to, as an industry, be better about treating our customers with respect and care. And as far if we're working with dealers or if we're D2C, I think that matters either way. So across the board, just something I wanted to touch on.
Wait, so we should try to be nice to
We should try
people?
and be nicer. We should just be nicer. That's all.
I
Didn't even need to be nice. I think
just a
just
little bit
respect.
nicer.
Just like a little bit.
Slightly less cunty.
Right. Like ignoring them at SHOT Show and then sending them three emails in a row. Probably not a good way to go if I'm like in your booth and that happened to me. Like, I don't
My
want to do that.
favorite. My favorite post SHOT Show email is the because I admire the balls on a motherfucker to send me this email. It's where I get the one where it's like, hey, I had a such a good time meeting you at SHOT Show and I really wanted to follow up with my sales pitch for thing XYZ. And I'm like, look, I know I meet a lot of people at SHOT Show and I shake a lot of hands at SHOT Show, but I definitely did not meet you, Mr. Guy, who's sending me this email from this random company that I've never heard of. But I admire the balls on a motherfucker to send me this email and try to play that line. Still getting deleted, but I admire the courage to do that because
I
I've
will
worked in
salute you as you go
sales.
into the trash bin.
Yeah. Well, I've worked advertising sales in this industry and it's hard out
Rough.
here for a pimp. So, you gotta really work your ass off. And I don't find that unethical, right? Like that's just, you had a percentage and you took a shot at it and you got to do what you got to do to close to get some of these sales out here. Because I've gotten 400 of those emails, right? Like it's everyone and their sister is trying to sell me, their email list or their
Ugh, that.
or whatever, they've all got something that they think is the best thing.
I promise you, it's the best thing to have ever bested since the last best thing.
Right.
Yesterday. Our favorite thing to say in this industry is we are number one in the industry. And I like to tell people that no one is ever number one, that tomorrow your competitor will be number one. So
I can
just
tell
do your
you,
best.
again, four jokes.
Yeah.
I had a great Hollow Sun joke, but I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna be nice. I think that's a any I'll go once around the table. Keith, final thoughts, saved rounds, as my other job likes to say.
That other job can shove it right now.
You've heard that though. You've heard the sir, any saved rounds, chief,
Chief,
shirt, first
Sergeant,
sergeant, top, or whatever you call them over there.
the first time I heard top after jumping branches was the wildest thing to me. I thought, what did you say to that man? He's
Well,
wearing a lot of rank.
we have a lot of confusing terminology. So, but no, any final thoughts, Keith?
Nope, the it's going to be an interesting 26. I think it's going to be one of those. I hate saying recovery year because it was stuff still got bought, right? And there were plenty of sales that still happened. Decreases happened, consolidations happened. But this is cyclical, so we're in the out part of a cycle for the industry. So let's see what 26 does. I know there are some interesting stuff in the pipes. We're starting to drift away. One of the things with SHOT Show, right, is SHOT Show is still holding on to certain legacy things about what it was, and it just isn't anymore. And one of those things is like, you don't go to SHOT Show to take orders from dealers anymore because all of that is done online and has been for years. But you go because it's the start of the year. It's the start of the sales year for the industry. It's the kickoff of the year for the industry. So you announce new things, you take some orders, but you can do that all by email now. Like it's all so there are still weird legacy things that are it's going to be interesting to see which parts of those evolve from 26 into 27 and probably throughout the rest of the decade. Because I think SHOT Show is going to need to reckon with what it needs to become rather than what it's still trying to be when it hasn't been relevant to that particular aspect of it for a while.
Agreed. Evie, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I'm seconding that. And I'm going to take it one step further and say that I think companies are doing that. I think they are starting to let go. And this is something I have 10 out of 10 recommended to every client, every company I've done work for. But let go of whatever you were doing and start utilizing technology as a whole and not just influencer marketing. Like, really update your website, get your content straight. Make your brand an actual brand as a whole, cohesive messaging, all of that. And I felt like I saw more of that this year. And I really am looking forward to seeing what everyone does for the next year. I think people, albeit tired, we are all tired, but I think people are moving in the direction that they need to be as far as technology goes and everything else, design and all of that seems to be moving forward, and I'm really excited. I think we're gonna do great. Firm believer in the law of attraction, by the way. So I'm saying this for everyone, blanket statement. We're all gonna have a great year. Everybody's gonna do amazing. That's it.
You're doing amazing, sweetie. I concur with both those assessments, and I think the biggest takeaway I have for me is that my first SHOT Show was 18 years ago. Or wait, yeah, I had to do that in my head. The 2008 was my first SHOT Show. It was at the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is a considerably smaller venue, and they were outside in the parking lot. They were having one of those dog long jump competitions where they jump and catch a thing and land in a pool. It was kind of neat. The show was smaller. The next year it was in Orlando. That was the last year it was anywhere but Las Vegas, and it was 18 years ago, still a buyer's show. It was a show where the primary people that were there went to write business. That place in the industry has largely been taken over by the buy group shows, by the shows that are put on by Sports South puts on a show, by those shows. And SHOT Show has transformed into A media show, and it's primarily now a media show to showcase your new products. Yes, there is still business being done at SHOT Show, but the business that's being done isn't necessarily orders being written, but it's more high level stuff. It's partnerships, it's manufacturing agreements, it's things like that. But just as we are in a 24/7 news cycle, we're in an era of constant connectivity where deals can be made without sitting in a room in front of one another, and that has fundamentally changed the character of SHOT Show. And you can argue back and forth whether you like it or whether it's good or bad, whether you like it or you don't like it. I don't think that it has any inherent value at all. I think it simply is. And it is a reflection of the changing media culture and the changing business and corporate culture in our world. And SHOT Show has changed, and SHOT Show will continue to change. And as long as there is an NSSF, there will be an event called SHOT Show. And how old will I be in 20 years? I'll be 64 in 20 years. And if I am going to SHOT Show in 2046, it will probably have changed a lot from then to the show that I remember now. So if you've never been to SHOT Show, I strongly recommend it. Go have a good time. Go kick
Oh,
tires
it's
for a
definitely
day.
worth a 3-day pass.
Yeah,
It's
I
absolutely
agree.
worth a 3-day pass. If
Yeah,
you have
without a
any
doubt.
way to access the show, go and enjoy it because it will be an experience.
Yeah, go kick tires, like loot some guns, go to some shows in at the Venetian, get stabbed by a guy. Like you can
Yeah, get
have a
stabbed by a
really
guy at
good
the new
time.
bar.
Yeah, you can have a
So
really good time at
terrible.
SHOT Show. And that is it for
13
this
people
week.
try and put a tourniquet on you. It's great.
So great. That is it for this week, guys. I want to thank everybody for listening, liking, sharing, and subscribing. I forgot to do this at the top of the show because I'm really bad at this. Keith, I did actually say Bleecker Street Publications at the top of the show,
You
but
did.
I
You didn't
fucked
say
up.
Bleecker Street and then a word that is wildly like publications, but
Yeah,
definitely isn't.
but even with that, I fucked up the intro anyway. So, because I cannot do the intro to
Course.
this show
Of course.
correctly. So, we've had a technical glitch. Somebody called me in the middle of the show and my phone wasn't on silent. It's fine, guys. You don't listen to the show because we're polished like the Sean Ryan show. You listen to the show because you're the same sort of degenerate that we are, and we love you for that. And if you are the same sort of degenerate that we are, make sure to leave a review for us, especially on iTunes and Spotify, because currently those platforms are not crushing Currently, those platforms are not crushing gun content like the
We
other
can be
platforms.
there. We can be there, and it's fine.
And they don't hate that we're there. Like, well, maybe they hate that we're there, but they don't actively kick us off of their platforms and they don't suppress our content. If you are on your iPhone and you listen to a bunch of gun-related podcasts, it will be like, oh, you may like these gun-related podcasts and push those up in your algorithm for you. So, and one of the big things that helps with that is 5-star reviews and actual like typey-typey word reviews that you have to write with your thumbs or your fingers. So, again, thank you very much. If you are watching this on open air media, please share it with your friends, put them in the Stanley Kubrick chair, make sure their eyes stay open while they watch the whole thing. And that's it. Thank you very much, and we will be back next week.